join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast, today round about July the, what about the 11th?
Yeah, which is crazy. Shit. We're gonna
no,
be,
yeah, I know.
Like, last weekend was the 4th. Well, I guess because the 4th was on Wednesday, but you feel like this weekend was the 4th. And the month is half over at the end of this week.
Yeah, because the 15th.
That's insane.
Yeah, I knew it was 7-Eleven because I've been seeing everybody posting the Beyonce Slurpee video and the Slurpee, the Slurpee thing. So that was kind of easy. I kind of somewhat cheated on
that. Shout out to Tim who said he said 7-Eleven with the kids. He said there was a line 30 deep.
I bet.
Damn.
He said, I'm waiting it out.
Yeah. Because I remember last year, I don't know if the $7 was doing, but last year when they was doing the free Slurpee, niggas was coming in there with like little goldfish tubs, tanks and shit, like aquariums and shit, filling it up. Yeah, man. So I've had a Slurpee in years, actually. They used to be my shit.
Yeah, nigga, you
I let all that go.
Pay me, yeah, nigga.
Yeah, you know, that soda, all that soda sit too well on my constitution like it used to. Man, how's everybody doing?
I'm good. I'm still recovering from Essence.
Yeah, we could pop off. I'll tell y'all my little July 4th adventure, since mine was light compared to y'all's. Tuesday night, I hit the streets. One of my little young guys had a birthday party someplace called Kind Regards downtown.
Mm-hmm.
That was popping, but it was really young. Like, everybody in there was like 20-something. I was like, yeah, I stayed about a half hour. Wednesday, 4th of July was Wednesday, correct?
Yes.
Wednesday, I went out to Brooklyn. A friend of mine knows this woman who's like a big fashion PR lady. Mm-hmm. So she has a dope rooftop in Williamsburg. So we went out there and watched the fireworks.
Okay.
From the rooftop, which was dope. I never did that before. Like, okay. From the rooftop, so you could really see them and all that. It was fly. Nice. You know, food and liquor. Thursday, I went to see Jurassic World, whatever the one.
The movie?
Yeah, the movie, yeah.
Okay.
Bullshit. I did something else. Shit. Damn it.
Yeah.
I did some other shit, but it was kind of a mellow weekend for me, honestly.
Good.
Nobody want to hear about my bullshit. Everybody want to hear about Essence. So you and Sean both went down to Essence separately.
Yeah.
But y'all both went down to Essence You went on
Wednesday
or Thursday? You went Thursday. When did you go? You went Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay, everybody went Thursday.
Yeah.
So I started seeing the IGs on Thursday of people on the planes. Looked like it was some soul plane action on certain flights.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
like some real soul plane. Like, we on. Matter of fact, a motherfucker, I don't know if y'all saw it because y'all was probably down there by that point, but some guy, looked like he was an African cat because he had like an African garb on. He did the, In My Feelings, Kiki. Yeah. He did it on the plane.
Wow. Yo, Matt, listen.
He did it on the plane. Like, he was in the aisle.
I'm so sick of the In My Feelings challenge.
And it's been out 2 weeks. Even 2 weeks, because the record didn't pop off the first day.
This weekend exploded.
No, it's crazy now. It's crazy.
I'm so tired.
It's crazy now.
I'm really tired of shit.
Yeah, it's been... The challenge has probably been popping off for, like, maybe 8 days.
It's too much.
Only. Because that didn't, you know, the album's only been out 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes, it's... Wow.
But, yeah, man.
But anyway, so soul plane activity. Of course, everybody be, you know, excited to go down to New Orleans. Everybody been, you know, thinking about this shit, so they've been paying on their trip since November. Put something on it. You can, you know, you miss your payment. You know, I got to get these kids these Christmas presents. I'm going to double up in January. So, you know, they all made it down there, though. Apparently, as y'all told me, y'all was in it. But, you know, this is the biggest crowd they've ever had to date.
Yeah.
The most revenue. The most everything, I guess. You know, I'm saying it was a grand.
And not by a little bit.
Like, a lot.
you felt the difference. You physically felt the difference in the amount of people that were there, to the point where other people that I met sort of down there that had gone to other ones, that was the question. Like, yo, have you ever felt
this crowded? Yeah. So, yeah, all man. Based on, they said based on the movie Girls Trip, which obviously is a 9-figure movie.
It actually was. Wait, I'm sorry if y'all just said this. It was record number. It was almost record numbers for them. Their biggest numbers were the 20th anniversary, and this was only short.
This is so. Who was 20? 25 is that, was that the year when Beyonce performed? Was that 20?
Maybe it might have been Prince.
Okay.
Because I think Beyonce and Prince were back to back.
I think they were back to back. I think they were back to back.
So their record numbers. We're 20th anniversary, 25 is next year. So
which is going to be benoodles.
I'm about to put my rooms on hold this week.
Next year's
I'm not even front.
So let me ask a question. So me and the cat who went, Mike, from the job, he was down there as well. We were talking yesterday for a while, like, who
goes?
Who's headlining next year?
Oh, I have no idea.
We were throwing our guesses. He had a good suggestion. He said he would, if it was up to him, he would try to stage a Destiny's Child reunion as a headline. I mean, that's a lot of logistics, a lot of movement. I said the only big person they haven't had yet, well, two they haven't had, correct me if I'm wrong, is Drake and Bruno.
Bruno should headline.
Yeah,
those are the only two big ones they haven't had.
Beyonce, I mean, but it even isn't even about having had it. Like, they've had headliners come back. Janet's headline before.
True.
You know, but Bruno should absolutely. I was actually saying that this year. I was like, Bruno needs to come get some of this.
Yeah.
Get some of this that actually would have been an awesome year for Bruno to headline.
And he's amazing live. You know what I'm saying? He got the band. He got the, you know, Cardi now with their records and other people. Like, yeah, and then Drake. He's the only other one that, that level that hasn't come through there. Everybody else is.
I think Drake might not be able to swing that crowd.
I think they might know a couple songs, but they don't. I don't know if they know enough of his shit to get into him as a.
Also, I think a closer needs to be a musician. It needs to be a band on that stage. You have to be able to give the people that level of entertainment.
Which is why you think Bruno would be a better choice.
He's absolutely a better choice. Now, if you did Drake maybe on like the Saturday night,
I got you.
You know, that would be awesome as well. You know what I'm saying? But I don't
think the closer should be Bruno. Yeah, the closer or somebody like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's jump right into the performances.
Oh my gosh! Well, so first of all,
who? I mean, there's too many to mention, but like in your mind, who gave the best? So, give me your top three.
I saw the headliner for every night. I didn't see all the shows for every night, but I saw the headliner for every night. And one thing I do want to point out is that this year Essence did something a little different. First of all, it's the first year ever that all three concert nights have been sold out.
Really?
All the shows aren't always sold out. So because even everybody who's down there, you know, the thing about Essence is there are people who go down there and don't go to the shows at all.
True.
Like I said to one of my friends.
Because there's a lot of shit to do.
Yeah, I said to one of my friends, I was like, I'm going to the shows tonight. She was like, oh, what shows? Where? What are you talking about? At the Super, the Essence Festival. What are you, that is the festival. You know what I'm saying?
Parties, like, and stuff to go to as well.
Like that actually is the festival, is the music. But, each night there was a specially curated superset. So Friday night was The Roots.
That's what Jill Scott
with Erica. Jill, Erica, but also brought out my man Anthony Hamilton. This is when you weren't there, Sean. I was like, Sean should have fucking been here. Brought Anthony Hamilton and brought out Kirk Franklin at the end, which was amazing.
Especially Kirk for that crowd is like a bullseye.
And Snoop had been on right before them. Snoop had brought out the Clark sisters.
Of course he did.
Had brought, I think, Daryl Hammond. Like some other motherfuckers. Fred Hammond.
So he brought all his gospel.
So it was like a gospel set. Yeah, he did his shit and some gospel shit.
Okay.
And I miss Snoop though. And then on Saturday, La did a ladies' first set.
Now, the
issue with that was La spent the first 30 minutes doing Dana Owens shit.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, Essence is not a jazz festival.
At all.
And this Dana, R&B
and I mean, you know, who am I to tell Dana anything? You know what I'm saying?
We love her.
Nobody thought she's
Nobody's
iconic.
There to see Dana Owens. Like,
and the thing about Dana, Dana doing jazz was pretty much white folks.
Yes, yes.
Like that was that crowd, white folks bought
people
those
like
records.
Dana Crawl. Yeah.
And so on Chicago and state, you know what I'm saying? They bought those records.
Yeah.
We want Ladies First.
We want Latifah.
And you know what else?
You can sing on your rap shit.
Yeah. But it gotta be the rap shit.
But like this bitch, we
want Flavor Unit.
Like live out there with a goddamn music stand turning pages on some sheet music. That's not what we're there for.
We're not for that.
So, but once she got it cracking on the Latifah side,
She got it cracking.
She brought out the entire I Want to Be Down remix.
I saw that.
Crew. I think Brandy's pregnant, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Again?
She looks very pregnant.
Wow.
She looks very, very pregnant.
And still throwing shots at Monica.
She looks very pregnant. And then she brought out Moni for Ladies First.
Oh, Moni was there?
Moni was there.
Hey, Moni. Hey, Moni.
She brought out Remy, who did
God bless
Party.
Remy.
And then, I mean, not Party Party. What am I talking about? She brought Remy, who did All the Way Up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Remy, while Remy was on stage, all these dancers started robbing the stage, and we all knew Missy was coming. Mm-hmm. So the thing about Essence is that, you know, me and Sean, this might be a little humble brag, we're usually sitting in the area where the Essence people sit.
The good seats.
Like, where either the artist tickets are or the comp tickets from Essence itself comes from, right? And the people who sit there, it's an area that is smacking with privilege. Because motherfuckers won't even come to their seat half the show.
Mm-hmm.
You be in the lounge, you chilling, you drinking, you trying to see who else is around. Because it's everybody, right? It's all the artists, all the entertainers, all the
corporate
people doing
America
speakers,
people.
All of everybody is there. So, you know, Tashina Arnold and Tisha Campbell and, you know, everybody who is a guest of Essence is in that area. And so I guess everybody was like in the lounge chilling. When Missy took the stage, all of a sudden, and it's the one area that's barricaded. So you have to like really stop and show security your ticket before you can come in. All of a sudden, everybody's like mobbing to get
rushed
to their seats when Missy comes out. They dance.
So nobody knew she was coming on.
No, we knew. But
she was advertised, but it wasn't it wasn't a full blown advertisement because it wasn't a full blown set.
Right, and you also don't know when in the set because the way the VIP lounge is, it's literally directly behind the stage. So there's like this little door there's this little curtained area on the side of the stage you go through. And from the VIP area, you can see the stage monitor. So you can see what's going on so that if you're ready to come out, your seat is like around the corner. So people came mobbing out. So Missy got the party jumping.
I saw that.
And and after that was Salt and Pepper. That was
I heard
surprise.
They popped off too.
Popped off.
SWV as well?
She came out with they came out with Teddy.
Oh, okay.
But after that was Salt and Pepper. Pepper looks scary.
Yeah, she's
her
got
face
so much work
looks,
done.
It's so tight. Her face is so tight.
Yeah.
It's very scary. She
she's
looks very
a
plastic.
Ton of work done.
She's gotten so much work done.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess from a distance, she looks good.
Yeah.
But once you start zooming
it's
in,
like,
you be like, ooh.
Yeah.
Them titties look hard.
That's stones.
Face look, ugh. Anyway, but they killed it.
Yeah, they got hits.
And then, of course, Live brought everybody out for UNITY. So I thought that was a great night. And Mary was the headliner that night. So Mary came out and did her Auntie Mary thing. And you know how Mary bopped. She was wearing Dapper Dan Originals. Dapper Dan Originals. She was doing her thing.
That's Sean Boy right there.
Yeah. And then Dapper Dan was around.
I'm sure he was.
So then
That nigga ain't missing a... That nigga's like, I'm anywhere.
So then on Sunday, the super set was Teddy Riley doing a New Jack Swing set. And I was really excited because in theory, this
should
have
be
been amazing, right? It's Teddy. Teddy's curating. He's bringing everybody out. My nigga, I was so disappointed. Like, we walk in. I was a little bit late. I heard, so he had brought out High Five or whatever the current iteration of High Five.
Nigga,
is.
Hold on. When he brought High Five out, nigga, I was.
So I just threw his phone.
I was in. I was stunned.
Right.
Because I was like, okay, this is not starting off well.
Tony RIP.
Right.
Tony's gone.
So what are you even doing?
And I think another one of them boys might have passed on the glory.
I think they're in jail or something.
Yeah.
Mac in jail, killing his wife. I know them boys. I'm jobs.
I'm fucked up right now. And I'm standing there like, okay, this is a precursor.
Right.
To some bullshit.
Them niggas did boot up.
Right.
High Five?
Nigga. I was so perplexed and angry and confused all at the same time. They did a version of Boot Up.
Oh, see, I'm glad I missed
that
shit.
I don't hear that.
Because that's not what we... Nobody's there for that.
First of all...
And Ellie Mae herself was there, I think, that night.
And, like, dude, like, It's not your record. Yeah. It's a popping record. It's a current record
yeah.
with an artist who's willing and able to jump on any stage, especially
because
this
one.
Right, right over here.
Yeah.
Because she's here. And that's awesome. She's here.
So it was weird
that's
to
whack.
See that. And then they did that. And they, you know, so I was like, okay, whatever. Then I think he bought out
Kumo D.
Yeah, he bought out Kumo D.
How was that?
To do Wild
Well, listen, nigga, I'm old.
Kumo
I'm old
D's
New
still
York.
Performing, though.
I'm an old New York nigga, so of course the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, you always love to see.
But
you know,
also, he still be performing. He got his little suits.
Yeah,
he
still.
Got his little outfits.
He got his little koofy on.
Nah, he had a regular hat on. He had a regular.
Glasses.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, he definitely.
Had KMD all on.
He definitely was. Like an old nigga from the Bronx. Like, he was all of that, nigga. Like, Air Force One.
Wow. All of that.
Oversized jeans.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He's an old nigga from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Old nigga from Uptown.
Well, same thing. Yeah.
Old nigga from Uptown.
Yeah, so I know how he's dressing.
Yes.
So, but he did his thing, and you can kind of get, you get the sense that he performs. Like,
yeah,
he wasn't,
still does,
yeah, he
shows,
still does his
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
So they came SWV.
SWV came
out. So SWV, do you remember, I don't know who here saw when the Soul Train Awards did their SWV tribute, what was it, last year or whatever?
Yeah, that, it was last year.
So they
year.
Had on these versions, like these updated versions of something they would have worn in the 90s, but kind of like for their auntie status. So it's like a sequence, like a baseball jersey and a tennis skirt.
Yep.
Except the tennis skirt comes down below your knees.
I remember.
And, you know, because
Taj had on a Taj had on a knee brace.
Right. So they had that shit on.
Yeah, but the refs who saw it on the shit
right.
when you went on stage.
Not even a knee pad. Like,
no,
you were in the 90s.
No, she had on a knee.
Knee
like, the shit you gotta pull on your phone. Pull it up, nigga. Pull it up. Pull it on
down
up.
With some best yeah,
yeah, yeah,
back.
Yeah. Put some Bengay on that motherfucker
right.
play at the stage.
So they had those outfits on.
Eddie George out
so
there with the Bengay. Rubbing the dead.
But you know they got some.
Yeah.
So they came, they did right here. Well, I came in on them doing right here.
Yeah.
So picture this. Let me get my Sophia Petrillo on. So picture it. I'm walking in the stage. I'm already irritated because traffic's been so bad. We late. I don't miss half the set. I don't know who I missed. I don't know what might be happening. I walk in. I hear SWV finishing up right here. Okay, cool. We walk into our seats. I can see the monitors. And the beginning of my prerogative starts. Now, Bobby Brown is in New Orleans.
I saw pictures.
Because he is promoting the Bobby Brown
story. The movie, yeah.
My nigga, why did Tank come out to do Bob Prerogative?
And I fucks with Tank heavy. But
you
not
do
for
that for Bobby Brown?
There's nothing about Tank.
Why is Tank on my stage?
You know why Brown. This is telling me? What this is telling me? And it won't be surprising. It's telling me that Teddy kept all,
Bridges?
No, he kept all the money.
Oh, possibly.
He didn't want to pay Bobby. He
well,
didn't want to pay nobody.
Out, Bobby came out for when they did Teddy's tribute at Soul Train.
Yeah,
but
maybe Soul Train paid for that. Like,
right.
It's not like they gave Teddy a budget.
All the money
and
for this.
And,
yeah,
for this. And Teddy was like, well, Bobby's going to be like, I want X. And Teddy's
right.
probably like, nah.
Right.
Let me call Tank and give him Y.
Because Tank going to be here anyway. So Tank came out. Then he does his... a dangerous segment. Michael Jackson's Dangerous.
Okay, I'm with that.
And Elgin comes out.
No, see, I'm not with that.
See, now, and when I first saw Genuine, I'm like, okay, Genuine can dance.
I like Elgin, he could do.
He can do the dance breaks, but he can't sing. And this is where we should also interject the fact that the sound was horrible.
Sound was really bad.
It was
the
so
sound
bad.
What do you think the sound being... What,
I think, and this is...
Essence's house, people always have bad sound. I'm sorry.
Well,
I
will also say this. I think as a former road manager, former tour manager, that somebody fucked up the presets.
That's what I asked. Remember I asked that.
Somebody fucked up the presets and they, or those mics, they had the wrong mics. Because there was at one point, I was like, why the fuck is the ad-lib guy's mic? Why is the
higher,
hype man's mic
yeah.
so
louder.
Much higher than, and louder? So I think they fucked up the mics and I definitely think they fucked up the presets. For you guys that don't know, all of these wireless mics now basically are coded.
Right.
It's a wireless device basically, and once you're coded, your levels go to a certain point.
Right.
Because if you're at sound check, then you're leveled.
Then you're testing your levels.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
leveled. When you either miss sound check or those presets are fucked up,
right.
Then that mic that you have
doesn't work
for your voice.
Yeah.
And we couldn't hear Genuine at all.
At
which
all.
Which actually might have been good because once we could hear him. He wasn't hitting the right keys, but that's a whole. He was flat than a motherfucker.
Oh, Elgin.
Nigga was below sea level, like the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
Wait, so this is...
So he did... Remember
this is
the
Saturday night or Sunday?
This is Sunday. He did Remember the Time.
No, this is Saturday night.
Teddy was Sunday.
So then when was Janet?
Janet was Sunday. This wasn't a headliner. It was Teddy, then Fantasia, then...
Oh, yeah, you're right. This you're right. Sunday. My bad. Yep. So, this is Sunday night.
So, because
yep.
They weren't the headliner. Janet was the headliner. They were So Genuine does Remember the Time. He does Jam. He dances. He leaves. Who came on after Genuine? Because it was somebody else I was...
It was a lot of names.
But at some point,
Danny
brought Rex and
Effects
out.
Yeah, that was awful. It was awful because of the mic situation.
It was all because of the mic situation. And also, they slowed the tempos down like crazy. Like
slowed the tempo down to Rex and Effects.
Yeah.
To which, the actual
Rex
song.
And Rex and Effects is like... No, to the New Jack Swing.
New Jack Swing. Yeah, New Jack Swing.
You know, you guys to get down. They slowed it way down.
I was stunned.
And I was like, why would you do that? Because that's my jam.
What are you
jam.
Doing right now?
Yeah.
You can physically see the crowd, like,
check out.
They were losing
they
the
were
crowd.
Losing the crowd.
Losing the crowd. Then they bring Light out. Light was underutilized all weekend. Then they bring Light out to do a Queen Pen tribute. Also, the transitions were all choppy. They bring Light out to do a Queen Pen tribute for Party Ain't a Party, which was, and Mike again, still fucked up. They finally started kind of getting it together with the sound when they brought out Blackstreet, who is not Blackstreet, it's BS2, because Chauncey Black owns the rights
Blackstreet
to Blackstreet.
Name, right?
So it's BS2, which is two random niggas, plus he brought Dave Hollister back.
One of them niggas look like MJG. I'm dead
no,
ass serious.
Real.
It might have been.
No, LOL. That nigga looks exactly like MJG.
That nigga might have been MJG. Check your little spare change for the weekend.
So he brought them out. They got to get... The other thing I have to say about Teddy is that Teddy, I feel like, thinks he's Michael or something, because he was trying to do a whole lot of extra shit. Like, there were dancers, and not like 90s dancers, but like, you know how sports team dancers look? There's a lot of hair swinging.
Oh, really?
And they hit moves, but there's no flavor. It was like, that was like kicks and pops and arms and ponytails and all that type. Am I wrong? No. Yeah, it was like basketball team dancers.
Knicks City dancers out there.
They were like that.
So you got some white gals up on stage.
Some of them, they were light skinned.
They weren't white. Yeah, they were.
But they weren't. They weren't big legs.
They felt like they were formerly trained dancers who could dance like hip hop shit.
But they wasn't hip hop dancers.
Yes.
Yeah, like a hip hop dance class.
I got you.
He had a whole bunch of lighting shit happening. He had a whole bunch of sound, like in between songs. He would do a whole like what Beyonce does, where he makes arm movements, and you hear like. But like, Teddy, why are we doing that?
We don't want that from you. And
we
I love
need
Teddy.
All that for you.
We don't want that
so
from
basically
you.
It was overproduced, the transitions were choppy, the sound was bad, and he was using a vocoder on songs that he didn't use the vocoder on when he made them. And nobody comes to these things for you to remix their classics. Like, they want to hear
the
shit
that was
the way they know it.
Just play the damn
They
record.
Want to hear the shit the way they know it. Don't change it. So then, but the biggest disappointment of the night was that Aaron Hall's voice is a rizzle. Not that he ever had, like, a great voice to begin with, but that shit gone.
Well, now he did.
Nigga was trying to sing like it wasn't gone.
That
was the hard part.
There were a couple things that you noticed. You noticed immediately that he sounded winded.
Yes.
He did not sound like he's been performing.
No. Okay.
And he, and I said this kind of over the weekend, when your voice is how you put food on the table, you take care of that shit.
Yeah.
That's your instrument.
Right.
That's your instrument.
Yeah.
So, even if you never get another album from a person like Erykah Badu, when you put her on that stage and give her a mic, nigga, she's
going
to show. Ready.
Jill Scott. They going.
They take care of that instrument.
Yeah.
Like, there's a preciousness to that shit and understanding, like, yo, literally, this is how I put food on the table. And you just didn't get that sense. You didn't get the sense that he had taken care of
himself,
of that instrument. He
you
did
could
not
tell
he,
look, yeah, like I said.
He didn't look in shape. He didn't look stage ready.
But now Damien Hall, apparently been in the gym.
I see Damien around. He's still good.
Damien acted as hype man, had his shirt off.
Yeah, I see Damien
everywhere.
And that nigga was so mad that they didn't have that spotlight on him.
Because he was going hard.
Man, that nigga was grinding in the corner in the crowd. And listen, when that nigga realized that spotlight wasn't in him, he started going over and dancing toward the spotlight,
like,
nigga.
Y'all gonna see this.
Nigga, y'all gonna see me tonight.
Literally.
Wait, so I wanna ask you something else. I wanna ask something else. So let's get past the shows. So I know you went to...
I gotta say two other things about this show. There's two other things. The only two people in the New Jack Swing set who actually brought it with Dougie Fresh and Keith Sweat.
With Dougie, they both
say
bring
the
it,
whole shit.
But they both
they
always
do this.
Bring it.
They
always.
Do this. So, Teddy, you do too much because Teddy's taking the show on the road. He's taking the show on tour.
Okay.
I'm going to need you to fix some things, Teddy. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
You went to the groove party. What'd you think?
I liked the music.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little. The spot where they had it was tight. And I don't really like parties where, like, I'm getting bumped into every 10 seconds. Especially not something like that. Like, I want room to move and really, like, dance and stuff. And it wasn't their fault. It's just they were having this little room in the Ace Hotel. It was a really small space in the Ace Hotel. It had already overflowed into the lobby, actually.
Oh, shit.
Of the
it
Ace.
It was super crowded.
So there was a balcony upstairs. So me and Whitney went upstairs and just, like, observed for a little while. I'm going to try to go check it out in Atlanta, but the vibe
I was there, but in Atlanta, I think you'll like it better.
Yeah, so because
everybody's dancing, and,
so
and you're
just,
not
and I mean, people were dancing there. I'm old. Like, I'm not
Issa
trying
Rae,
to have motherfuckers.
Came there.
Well, they were, the secure staff, insecure staff, cast was staying at the Ace.
Oh, so you just came on down.
So, you know, I'm an old nigga. Like, I'm not really trying to have to fight through the crowd.
Whatever.
Oh, but going back to the show, so you asked who was the best. For me, the best was The Roots. For most people, the best was Janet. I am a Janet fan.
You didn't love it?
I left halfway through it, but I just don't, her performances don't blow me away more than Amy. I mean, she brings it. Great production, great dance
value. Did you stay for her or you gone?
Still great energy. I just don't understand motherfuckers like in tears over Janet.
Well, because she's iconic.
She is iconic, but I mean, and I love her. Don't get me wrong.
You have to remember, TC and Peaches from Tulsa.
Yes.
They ain't never seen Janet in their life.
I'm talking about the niggas in our section who were acting like they had zero sense.
Well, how old were they?
It's our age and down.
Let's just say some of the younger ones also might not have ever seen Janet before.
Whatever.
Like,
I mean, listen,
in their life.
I've seen Janet before, and you're going to get an amazing show.
Very choreographed.
Yes, and that is the part of it that doesn't resonate with me.
Too choreographed.
It's too much of a show.
I also still can't hear her.
And, you know, there's definitely, I mean, obviously, after, you know, being married and you know, having a child, you knew that the sexy, the super ultra sexy
she's
shit.
She's 52 now. It's like, you know, I mean, you can't be sexy at 52,
no,
but it's
still,
a different,
she,
so she looks great.
But
it's a different energy,
pull,
is what
I'm
saying.
I'm not expecting her to pull somebody up on stage.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
it's
right,
a different
right,
energy.
But but there was, like, you got to give me something in between here, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Give me a little bit in between
here.
Yeah,
give me a little light
like,
twerk or something.
Give me more of the pleasure principle.
Yeah.
Like, she gave us, like, just a little bit of that choreography.
Well, that shit hard.
She did do a whole
23 when she did that shit.
She did do a whole moment about Joe.
Okay.
With Together Again, which we were talking about.
We talked about that. Yeah.
Together Again, and she did. And she talked about how she considered canceling the tour. Mm-hmm. She considered canceling Essence. She said it was really difficult for her to move on, but then she talked to her brothers, and like they were like,
you
want to perform.
Plus,
you
know,
yeah.
I mean, obviously there's, you know, financial repercussions as well, but besides that, you know, Joe wouldn't have wanted her to stop.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said Joe, you know, he
Joe would have been like, girl, what the hell you talking about? Your ass went out there on the goddamn stage.
You know, again, I think it's a great show. Sort of overall for me, I think, like, Essence has a very particular crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot take your everywhere show
To Essence.
Yeah, because
in my
I got
opinion.
You. You gotta kind of mold it to the Essence crowd.
You gotta fine tune it a little
bit. I got
bit.
You.
And I think that's very difficult when you're dealing with people who are out on tours and people who have these sort of big stage shows. So when you look at a guy like Teddy, right? Like, you know, in fairness, Teddy's set, that really should have been an hour set.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do more
90
than
90 minutes, yeah.
He also tried to make it too big for what Essence is. He could have so stripped that down. All people wanted was just see them motherfuckers come out and do them songs.
And that's why, like, a guy like, you know, Prince was a genius because even as this big, you know, entity, he always, every show was different.
Yes.
Because he would read the crowd.
Yes.
Literally, like, oh, yo, these niggas want to hear a little Red Corvette.
Right.
Oh, no, these niggas here want to hear some of the older
and that's
black
where
shit. And he would, mold
he
it to, like.
But guess what you got to do in order to know that? You have to play.
Yeah.
That's
you have
too.
To be in intimate venues.
Yeah.
You
know, Prince doing stages this big after the show. He's doing three people in a room.
That's
why. Then he's doing 30,000.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And that passion is evident to the people that are there.
Yeah.
Like, I saw him when they did a tribute for Shaka 1 year at BET.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, when he came out, I remember that.
He was playing. Yeah. And Stevie was playing.
Oh, my God. He seemed like a fucking kid. Like, he was so giddy to sort of be able to be playing. And you can see that this is a passion of his. This isn't like
what I do.
Work. Like, yes, nigga, we about to rock this motherfucker out.
Yeah.
And you don't really get that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that physically it's such a cavernous place. Like, the Superdome is a huge venue.
It's a stadium.
It's like, huge.
Yeah.
And so you get points where you get points of the show where it might lull a little bit. And it's like, yo, man, you know, you're not in a 17,000 or 15,000 basketball arena. Like, you're in a football stadium.
Yeah,
it's 47. It was 47,000. Basically, they was hitting 47 to 50,000 every night. Like, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. You know who else is good at that? Then we'll move on. I'm a piece of shit ass R. Kelly. He is, though. He is at reading that crowd and be like, nah, I'm gonna do Bice calling. You know, but
my mama and Eric will tell you that Big Frida was the best show of the night.
Well, I'm not shocked at that at all.
Frida in the Super Lounge, which I wish I was trying to watch Teddy's whack ass. Yeah. I should have gone and see Frida.
I absolutely would have gone to see Big Frida.
I got to meet Mr. E, nigga. Yeah.
You gonna get a little taste together?
Nah, we did. Well, we met.
We will, though.
Yeah, I gave him a good pound.
You will. No, so overall it was a great thing, and I've decided. What song? Who made I decide? Someone made a song called I Deserve. Oh, I Deserve. That was what's called
Tank.
No. Oh yeah, I was Tank. I'm thinking of who up there? I'm thinking Scrappy Mother. What's her name on song?
Oh, she said she did do I Deserve.
She got one too. I'm thinking of Mama D. Sorry, Tank. but I decided that I'm gonna go next year. Because
the people were asking for you all week.
Nah, I'm gonna go.
People be like, Where's Jeff? I'd be like, Jeff don't do this shit. This is not Sean.
Yeah, but I'm next year. I'm down.
Because 25th is gonna be lit.
Yeah, and I like New Orleans. Like I like New Orleans.
It's a great city. I just didn't get to enjoy it the way I usually do because there were just too many people.
Yeah.
There were just too many people.
So not to take too long, but you know, since we're talking about New Orleans, I want to lead right into your trip to the Lynching Museum.
Oh yeah,
is it called the Lynching Museum?
So the official name of it now is the National Memorial for Peace and Justice.
Okay,
it was for a while called
the Lynching Museum, right?
Yeah, I guess people felt like
I think
when
they did
harsh.
The because I remember when they did the piece on 60 Minutes with Oprah and. I forget,
Brian Stevenson.
Yeah, Brian Stevenson. Yeah, they calling it the Lynching Museum.
I think people felt like maybe that was too harsh.
It is pretty harsh, but it's real. Right. It's right. Yeah.
So the thing, so there's a museum.
How long is it a ride from how long a ride to take get from New Orleans over Mobile?
So it's in Montgomery,
That's right.
I want to say it was 4 hours.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
That's way more than I thought.
And then
we flew
out of Atlanta, which is just another 2 hours out of Montgomery, because Mom and Eric were driving back to South Carolina.
Yeah.
So I was complaining to Mom about how expensive the flights were for Essence. And she was like, well, you know what? We're going to stop at the museum. Why don't you ride with us, go to the museum,
and fly home from Atlanta?
And I checked with Greg, and he was with it. And I was like, yeah, because I really want to do it.
Yeah.
So the thing about it, though, is that there is a memorial, and then separately there is a museum.
Yeah, I remember on a 60
and
Minutes piece, they showed it was two
separate
places.
We went to the memorial, and they asked us if we wanted to do a package. And we were like, nah, because the memorial is predominantly the outdoor space. Yeah, and that's the hanging stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's half indoor, half outdoor. But it was hot as shit this day. And the sun was beaming. There was no cloud cover, no nothing. So by the time we finished, there was
ready,
no
ready to go
anywhere else. But the thing about it is, even if you know, so for those who don't know, you should, first of all, look it up. Absolutely. But there are these 6-foot blocks of iron that look kind of like coffins that are positioned when you start and you walk it like a maze.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start, they're positioned so that they're floor to ceiling, but as you walk, the floor drops so that they're hanging from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant to, emulate like hanging.
Yeah, like
for
people
lynching.
Being lynched, exactly.
And on each one represents a different county in a state, and all the people, their names, their dates.
The ones that they
know
about.
Right. So that's the other thing. There are several different places in the memorial that remind you that there are thousands of these stories that we'll never know.
We're doing this shit every weekend like it was a fucking party.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. So, even if you know the history a physical representation is so overwhelming. Like, when you look at some of them and they're just full of names, you know? And another thing that was shocking to me, first of all, the dates. The latest date I saw was like 48, 47. That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, the people are alive.
Yeah. We found one name that my grandfather used to tell my mother about.
Really?
A guy who had been pulled out the jail and lynched in my grandfather's hometown. And I think he might have been in college at the time. But, mm-hmm. you know. And it was only a few years before my grandparents got married and my mom was born. And, you know, we found, everybody looked for their counties they knew. You know, that type of thing. And there are some stories mm-hmm. that are recounted. And the main
thing is a lot of pictures?
No, not really pictures.
Okay.
No pictures. There might be in the museum. Okay, not in the memorial.
Yeah, probably
in
the museum.
Yeah. But, you know, when you walk in, you're very angry.
Of course. Because
they're even just, there's like messaging as you walk in about why this memorial was created, about the over-policing, about black and brown people, about lynching, like you said, about how people think it was like this isolated thing where it was like a party.
It
was in
the
town square.
Yeah.
Like thousands of people.
Yeah, cooking out. That's where the word picnic comes from.
Like, whatever. And so you walk it, and especially in light of the current climate, where white people calling police on black people every 10 seconds.
Literally
nothing.
Literally nothing.
And when you see what black people are getting lynched for, because there are some stories told in there. Shit like 2 14-year-olds lynched for frightening a white girl. You know, one man lynched for knocking on a white woman's door. One man lynched for walking behind his boss's white wife. One man lynched for not addressing a police officer with Mr. Like, when you see these things and you think about what's going on now with the police just killing motherfuckers, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Without actual due process. I can't mm-hmm. say the word right now. When you think about, the police being called for every little thing. You can't help but, like, really see, like, this is the same shit.
It's literally the same shit.
It's the same shit. Like, okay, y'all don't want to say it's the same shit because we're not yet being drugged and strung up somewhere. But it's the same energy.
But the process is the same.
It's the same energy. It's the same energy.
Like, I didn't like the way that boy looked in my car.
Exactly.
So I called the police. What are you talking about?
It is still about keeping your foot on the neck of black people.
Absolutely.
Basically, right? And that's all this is. All of this was like a reaction to slaves getting free and you not being able to have control.
Keeping
black people in control, mm-hmm. keeping a hierarchy, right? Like, we still monitor you. We mm-hmm. still control you. So you walk in mad, but the way the whole thing is laid out, like, there's a fountain at some point, there's mm-hmm. various points for you to stop and read things. It's really meditative. And when you leave, it makes you walk like a path to walk a couple more sculptures, walk past a couple more sculptures, read a couple more things to almost kind of calm you down.
So
before you walk out,
who's there? Is it all black folks? Or
no,
is it a mixed
there
crowd?
Were white people there.
Because I know there was a lot of white folks off that 60 Minutes piece. I was reading, you know, comments and stuff after, and a lot of them were saying they wanted to go.
There were white people there, and I was trying to like eavesdrop and mm-hmm. ear hustle a little bit to see what conversations white people were having.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about this is that, and I want to say a small bus trip came up, but they ask you to be very quiet. Like, there's a bunch of signs that say this is a sacred space.
Okay.
So, like, don't make noise,
yeah.
you know, put your phone on silent, don't run, don't yeah. shout, you know, whatever. So, it's light of hushed voices, mm-hmm. whatever. But you could tell it's, like, liberal white people who would do this kind of shit. But, you know, there's a subset of white people who do shit, like, go to Montgomery and go to all of the civil rights shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like,
yeah, they
I
go
mean,
to
I
the
guess.
Rain Hotel, they go to
yeah.
certain places. Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I go to Selma and then drive to Selma, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and what I was really feeling like was like, yo, the people who really need to come here, because there are people who be like, no, lynching wasn't, like, it was Emmett Till and that's it. Or,
yeah, it was
lynching
one,
is
it was
something
a,
that just
like
happened.
One in the,
it's
like,
just something that happened in the backwoods
years ago, yeah.
with people,
no.
you know, with clans and whatever. No, this shit was like, it was a regular occurrence, right?
Yeah.
So, I took some video because it's kind of haunting, and I posted it, and I posted a couple of pictures of the plaques that told the stories, and John Legend saw it,
mm.
and John has done work with Brian Stevenson before.
Has he been down there yet, John? Did he go to the opening or whatever?
I think he went to the opening. So John has done work with Brian Stevenson before, so he reposted it, and it ended up going viral.
I saw it.
And what's amazing to me has been, like, white people who chimed in, and they're like, I had no idea that this was the history, and I want to be like, where
no, but that's how, but, you know, on a bigger picture, you see this more and more each day, because literally not each day. This I saw a story yesterday, this morning actually, where a little boy, somebody called the cops on a little boy who was delivering newspapers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Or the little boy who was cutting grass.
Right.
But it's like these kids are like 11. Little
girl selling water.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so like, and there's always some white folks that's always just gonna be like, it's their fault or something.
Right.
But then there's other white folks that are literally still like just almost like perplexed that this actually happened. So, it's like, yo, you know this happens all the time.
This is what happens. And that was part of my point, was like, when we react to people being killed in the street, when we react to the cops being called on black people for nothing, it's because this is our DNA. Yeah. It's because, like, this is our history.
It's been happening to us, our ancestors.
Right. We're reacting to this historically. Now, this, like,
you, it's not a one-off.
Yeah, you have the luxury of looking at it as an isolated incident. Because a lot of people will say, what if that person's just an asshole? What, that was the argument with the golf course thing. What if that person's just an asshole? I'm like, you have the luxury of looking at it like that. We don't have the luxury. Yeah. This is historically, we are still being over-policed, over-monitored. You know, our very existence is checked. Like, black people just standing around. You damn near asking for our papers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
not
just,
damn near. They are.
Like, literally,
you got citizen white folks who was just regular citizens, like you said, at the pool, saying, let me see your ID to see if you're allowed to be in this
fucking pool.
That's what
I'm saying.
Like, I don't even know you. Fuck you.
Historically, this is why we react the way we react to these stories, because it's connected to something. This shit is not isolated. And people are so convinced that, somebody said this about Trump. People are convinced that when a change in the tide happens, there'll be some big warning that'll go off. Like, warning, shit is about to go backwards. Mm-hmm. That's not how it happens. It's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens little by little.
And motherfuckers just keep taking a little more rope.
Little more rope.
Yeah, and they taking more and more rope. Now you got, like, your man on TV grabbing Mel B. You saw that?
Grabbing
Mel B's ass, like, live on TV, like, it ain't nothing. And then when she speak on it, he's like, oh, like,
and so
like,
many people were tripping? Like, so many people were like, she didn't have to embarrass him like
the
that.
The fuck are you talking about? So, and we get to this weird space, too, because now it's like, okay, for example, Mel B, or, I mean, any of these hundreds of incidents, like, Permit Patty or whatever, So now, she's calling the cops because they don't want nobody cooking out in the park, or the little girl selling water or whatever it is. Now, that little girl's mom would have smacked the shit out of that lady.
As
to me,
she
had the right to do, because, like, she's wrong. She's getting locked up.
Yep.
She's getting arrested. She's,
yep, all she, kind of shit.
All kind of shit for protecting her child from this crazy white lady who's totally in the wrong. So that's the other trick.
And meanwhile, when the news stories come out, they always interview the white person.
Always. I haven't seen that little black girl's mother yet. I don't know what she looks like.
Even with the pool shit, they interview dude.
Yeah.
They always interview the person who's perpetrating the shit,
and they,
not the
and
victim.
They your man today, what's his name, bro? Papa John's nigga.
Yeah.
He on a conference call saying nigga. You know, his stock crashed.
Right, again.
And they interviewed him.
Right.
And of course he's like, I apologize.
Nigga, whatever.
You don't apologize. Exactly. You just got caught.
Right. So I've been in my mentions all day. Eventually I had to mute the thread, but some is still coming through. So there are fights going on in my mentions, obviously. Because, you know, there's still white people who are like,
get over it.
Well, or the white people who kept coming in saying, well, you know, it was the Democrats who were lynching people. I like, no, it was white people who were lynching people.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
Ain't nobody was holding their fucking party card.
It was white people. I don't give a fuck about the Southern strategy. I don't give a fuck about LBJ. I don't give a fuck about none of that. It was white people. And then somebody wanted to bring up Clinton's crime belt. And I'm like, if y'all really can't have a conversation about black humanity without making it an argument for political parties, like, y'all got to roll out. You know,
but they always do that because that's deflection.
Easy, right, it's deflection. Then there was a nigga from New Orleans. He's young, though, so I'm going to try to let him pass, but was like, how dare you? What we're facing today is nothing like what our ancestors were facing. Like, you should have used that as a moment to tell black people we need to be grateful and humble for how good things are now. And I was like, you dumb motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
He was like, are people being lynched today? I was like, yes, except they're calling it suicide.
No,
motherfucker got lynched in Atlanta last year.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, come on. So, anyway.
You date white girls.
If y'all find yourselves in Atlanta,
I'm gonna figure out a way to make it over there.
Take the detour, because it's only 2 hours outside of Atlanta. People don't just find themselves in Montgomery. But if you happen to be in Atlanta, take the detour. It's worth it. It's worth the moment. Like I said, I originally came out like, I'm about to want to fuck all white people up. But it's also very sobering, because again, even when we know the history, that physical representation of it is like
seeing it, it's knowing it, heavy. And seeing it as a whole different animal.
Yeah.
I just thought
about the families cut short.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, like those people are gone. They didn't get to have families or whatever.
Crazy.
Did y'all get to watch Pose?
Yes, I love this show so much.
Did you see it, bro?
No, I didn't.
Have you been watching it?
I just haven't had a chance to.
Yeah. Fucking Billy Porter.
So I gotta say right now, because Queen Sugar's really been disappointing to me this season.
I haven't watched the last three episodes.
It's been very slow and just it's not. Something's not clicking with me like it was in the past. I have to say, in my personal opinion, Pose right now is the best show on television.
It's excellent.
It's the best show. And each episode gets better and better. So this episode was called Love is the Message. Mm-hmm. Gambling Huff 8. Because they played Love is the Message about six times on the radio. And I mean, they're playing it for a while.
Yeah.
And that, obviously the theme music was of the show. And it was about, the gist of it was about, pray tell, Billy Porter's character. Mm-hmm. Dealing with the fact of his boyfriend
dying
of AIDS, like really coming to the end
right.
of the
and
line.
And also what that meant for him.
And what that meant for him. Because
he's recently been diagnosed.
Exactly. So he's looking at himself, at his boyfriend, saying, I'm seeing what could possibly happen to me.
Yeah.
And he would play the record over and over again at the balls.
Trying to put himself in a simpler time.
Because that was their song. And so he's playing the record over and people are complaining. It's like, dude, you're playing the record for like 3 hours
in
a row. Play
something
else. It's old shit. Da 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 da. So that was kind of like the gist of it. There was other things. There was the other big story was Stan.
Yeah.
And his wife, Patty.
Yeah.
Patty sitting with Angel.
It was a very dramatic episode. All of them were dramatic.
This one was
heavy. Like some lightness and some action.
There wasn't no lightness in this.
This was a lot of like moments that you may think are slow moments. But they're not slow moments. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, yeah, you said, it's like very heavy. Janet Mock directed.
Yeah, that's the first time she ever directed. Yeah.
And it was really like,
yeah,
it was a lot.
I think she might have wrote that episode as well. I think she might be in the writer's room.
So definitely, and it felt like a transitional episode, right? Like,
it definitely was.
Probably when we look back on the season, it'll be the things that happened before this episode
and things
that happened
after
this episode.
Yeah,
because
there's only two episodes left. It's only eight episode season.
I guess because they didn't know.
So they said, we're going to give you eight, Ryan.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, I didn't realize Ryan Murphy was that young.
He's so young.
I saw a picture of this nigga. He's like 30.
He's wild young. I mean, I don't know how, because Nip Tuck.
Yeah, I don't know how young.
Nip Tuck was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's 30, but he looks like,
he's young.
He, like, if he walked in here, he looked like a young white kid.
Right, right.
Like from.
Ryan Murphy is relatively young, and also, not to even segue, Matthew Cherry, who did Dangerous Housewives.
You know what? I follow him on Twitter, and now we talk on Twitter. I didn't know who he was.
Matthew Cherry looks crazy young, too, and Matthew Cherry was in the writer's room for the Golden Girls.
Oh, wow.
Which was like 100 years ago. I'm like, he's been like 5.
I didn't know who that guy was. I was just like, I was like, oh, he's kind of funny on Twitter now. Now again, we'll kind of converse.
He's a little up there, 65. He's born in 65.
Who, Matt, Ryan?
Ryan Murphy. He looks young as shit, dude. I don't know what he's doing.
But he's still young considering the fact that he created his first show. Nip Tuck at this point was
52. He's 52. I mean, he was 40.
He would have been 40, yeah.
Like, I saw a picture of him on Twitter, and I was like, that's Ryan Murphy? Like, I was, like, stunned. But, anyway, the show, like you said, the show's been great.
Yeah. Claus has also been great. Have you been watching it?
I've been watching Claus, too.
Outrageous. Yeah, but in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Over the top. It's
so
very campy,
top.
But on purpose. Like the way they dressed, everything happens.
Everything is so
the
good.
Violence, the fight is very over the top, too. But Pose has just been awesome, man. Just like, and like I said earlier on one of our podcasts, it's at the space now where, like, I'm not even thinking about them really being trans.
Right.
I'm
just
into the
about
characters.
Yeah.
You know, he's brought they've brought humanity to the characters,
right.
And where you're not really tripping on, you know, their sexuality. They're just
right.
human beings
they're
going through,
beings.
Like, a lot
which
of shit.
Which is the point. And I also appreciate that, like, there are also these storylines of, like, these normal cis-hetero, whatever you want to call them, people who are, like, on the peripheral.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also following them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like Stan and his wife
and
the boss.
Yeah.
James Van Der Beek and all that. So I just wanted to mention that.
Excellent. And I see more and more people on it.
Oh, yeah. Y'all were in Louisiana. Oh,
I watched it when I got home from Janet. It was on.
Yeah, it trended number one for like 4 or 5 hours on Sunday. Yeah. So they're picking up steam. I don't know what the numbers were.
Numbers went down from what I read, but I don't... You can't necessarily take, and this is what I mentioned earlier, you can't necessarily take numbers on a project like this. It's not, I don't think it's going to be a hard line issue for numbers for them to be picked up. What networks are also doing are they're looking at engagement.
All right.
The engagement is high.
It is critically acclaimed.
Yeah. They're definitely going to win some awards.
They're not eligible for this next award season, but...
No, Emmys, but they're eligible for SAG and Goldens, Emmys.
And more than anything, they're in a great space because FX is branding itself as a place to come and be creative.
True.
Okay. You get to be creative first. We'll concern ourselves... You know, later down the line.
Yeah.
It's very similar to what HBO did when they had that run of Sopranos and The Wire
and Sex and the City
and all of those. So it was just be creative.
The people will come.
Yes.
Eventually. Sidebar, I've been watching. I know I'm the only one here watching Love Is.
Yes.
And I'm.
I've heard it's good though.
It's good, but it's really slow.
Yeah.
It's good. It's. I rocks with the Akils. I rocks with Mara. She's, you know, her track record speaks for itself. So I'm gonna ride out. But I know, bro ain't never gonna watch. But you know, I want to mention. I'm riding with you, baby.
Oh, you finally started watching Parts Unknown too, right?
No, I ain't watch that.
Anthony Bourdain joint.
I watched about 3 or 4 of those, and I enjoy it. I haven't like wilded out, but I enjoy it.
Such an old black.
He was like, "I ain't wilded out."
You can't tell
a
nigga the real name.
The Bourdain movie. Double sidebar. One of my favorite series, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yes,
just came up, so I binged that.
Yeah,
binged it?
I think I'm like on episode like 5.
It's great. It's great this season.
I've never gotten into it.
I just want to tell you this. I mean. It's not a thing about the thing, but he told a story, and he told it so kind of like cool. He didn't like tell it on some boasting shit on. He did, but not really. But it was crazy. So
Seinfeld.
Yes. So he's talking to, I forget which comedian he's talking to. Maybe it was Alec Baldwin. I think it might have been Alec Baldwin. Doesn't really matter. He's talking to him, and he says it is Alec Baldwin, and so he reaches in his thing to pay for the coffee, and he gives the black card to the waitress, and they bring it back, whoever it was, holds the card, he's like, damn, this shit's heavy, I never had a black card, man, I didn't realize it was this heavy, and he said, you know how that started, right, and he was like, nah, he said, so I was doing a commercial, when I was doing American Express commercials, and he said, some cameraman guy walks up to me, and says, yo, you have the black card, and Dre was like, the hell are you talking about? Mm-hmm. He says, a black card. There's only 3 of them in the world. There's a Sona Brunei, the president of American Express, and somebody else. He said, I figured you'd have one. And Dre was like, no, but shit, I'm doing these goddamn commercials.
Right.
I'm about to call, make a call. So he said he called the head of Amex, because that was his man. I don't know if it was Kenneth Chenault at that time. Maybe it was before Kenneth Chenault. But whatever, he called him, and he's like, yo, what's up with the black card? And the guy for Amex is like, oh, that's just a rumor. We don't have black cards. This is bullshit. He's like, but you know what? In this conversation, he's like, maybe we should really do them.
Oh,
so
shit.
He said they researched and developed it, and Jerry had the first one.
That's ill. That's so much money.
He said the black card is because of me.
That's so much money. Actually,
I was like, that's
man, but okay.
Bananas.
But yeah, but that's so much
Jerry's
money.
This thing had the first black card.
It's so long.
It's not, like, it's insane.
Yeah.
This is a man, we're talking about a man who has property to house his Porsches.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He bought a joint in the Hamptons, right? Like a mansion and converted it into a garage
shit. His shit is crazy. What I will say is, and you know, I'm going to say this too long. One, I find this to be far more interesting than anything about Seinfeld, the show.
you're talking about the Comedians in Cars.
Comedians in Cars and Coffee. I love Jerry Seinfeld more and more. I watch this show.
Yeah.
You can tell he's been rich very long because none of this shit moves him.
None of this shit
yeah. moves him. And I love the dad Nikes, dude. Like, his dad Nikes
is strong.
Yeah. And that is as interesting to me as the car.
Like what he's wearing. Trademark.
Yes. Yeah, that's his trademark. Yes, like, he'll have on these, like, he'll wear, the like, shocks on.
Yeah. With a sport coat. Yeah. You know, and he's very, like, he's so, like, comedy is his thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is his thing. Like, the money's cool, cars, but that's his, like, every show he's talking, he's breaking it down. Like, this is why this, and this is why, like, somebody will say something funny, and he'll, like, sometimes he'll laugh, a lot of times he'll laugh, like, open, like, laugh a lot. Like, he likes to laugh, but a lot of times he'll also be like, that was interesting the delivery you did on that, because really the joke wasn't that, but the joke was how you set it up with that. Like, he's always just thinking comedy.
They broke down Richard Pryor a bit.
Oh, really?
Like, he was like, yeah, you smoking crack isn't funny.
Right.
The pipe talking to you
is
not as funny.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now we got something. Yeah, now we can go off of this. So it was really interesting.
Yeah,
Tracy Morgan, who got probably about $600,000 worth of cars.
Maybe more.
That we saw.
Yeah, that we saw.
And Jerry was like, yo, you spending all the money?
Yeah.
This nigga said, yo, Jerry, that was a Walmart truck, not Ray Moore Flat.
Ray Moore Flat. And the other shit that Tracy said was funny. He was talking about UPS. He said, I dare you wear them brown shorts with them brown socks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, it's really, you should watch it. Show. Okay. You should binge it. It's
short episodes. Yeah. I don't think anything is longer than 20 minutes.
Got it. Short.
Wait, speaking of episodes and binging and content, can we talk for a minute about how I really feel like BET is fucking up right now?
On across the board?
Well, because BET.com is clearly investing in original content.
Yeah.
You did. I the talked to Pimp C. There, which looked hella interesting. There is
no promotion, though.
This new show. Who's this kid? P.O.?
Oh, your boy, I Know Fucking Baby.
Yeah.
That little nigga got a show which people seem really invested in, but it's on .com. And most recently, which brought me to the conversation, was the fact that they're doing this documentary on Video Vixens, which is telling a side of a story we haven't heard yet.
Oh, I didn't know.
Okay. A side other than just, it's like Gloria Velez, it's all them girls who used to be the main ones.
What was it? Esther Baxter.
But they're talking about shit like, how much did we really get paid? How much did, you know, like,
what really was happening?
Yeah, and also talking about how Confessions of a Video Vixen fucked everybody up because they assumed they all moved like that. Fuck.
Sidebar. Not to cut your sidebar. I just want to give
Melissa Ford.
Yeah, I don't know if a shout out is the right term, but prayers to Melissa Ford. She had a horrific car accident about a week or so ago. Like, and is it really? It's still in. You know,
still
apparently has a fractured skull. Like, she got really hurt bad.
She had, like, bleeding on her brain. I think she doesn't remember.
I don't understand why it wasn't a bigger story, honestly, because she got really hurt.
I think because it happened going into the holiday.
And people wasn't tripping.
People really weren't paying attention. Yeah. So but Melissa Ford is in the doc.
Mm-hmm.
But they basically, it looks like some of them are distancing themselves from Corinne. Like, that wasn't all of our stories, you know. But they talk about how, you know, the industry money changed, how casting directors started going getting girls from the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a version of the story we haven't heard. And this is an era of music that, if you were there for it, you're nostalgic about it. If you weren't there for it, you're fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is gold. This could have been live tweet.
I wonder why they're doing it all on .com and not on the channel.
I have no idea.
What do you think, bro?
Is it financial? It's probably in my best interest to not.
Okay. My guess is it must have something to do with AdTales. It must have something to do with AdTales.
I don't know.
But it feels like they're trying to build up BET.com as a content destination, and that's cool because they also have like a TRL type show. They have some other original programming happening there. But the problem is, like, y'all still are figuring out the channel.
Yeah, nobody goes to BET.com
for
anything.
Yes, nothing.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't even go to
BET, really, at this point, the television network, let alone.
So, like, you got to figure out the channel destination. And also, I'm seeing promotions for these individual programs, but I'm not seeing a campaign that's just for .com. If you're trying to drive people to .com,
then that's got
to
be the focus.
You need a campaign that's just for .com. Like, where's the supercut? Where's, like, the thing that's announcing that .com is new
it's
and revamped
popping.
And
it's
this and it's popping? And it's whatever, like, even the DL...
Bro over there biting his tongue so hard.
Well, I can say
But I don't want you to say nothing. I don't want you to fucked up.
No, we don't. You know what our rule is? We haven't said it in a minute, but our rule is that we don't fuck nobody.
Because the Mona Me Empire is on Walmart now. Y'all niggas is on fire.
Sean Young ain't fucking with his papers.
This mortgage got to get paid. I don't know what y'all niggas talking about.
I think it's in order to do something in the digital space, mm-hmm. you have to, whether you like it or not, you have to embrace the people that are already established in that space with your core.
Right.
And I've said this before, that usually the Jack and Jill people mm-hmm. don't want to hang out with the other cousins.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Right? They want to.
Maybe but on not the week, really.
But they don't want to let everybody know.
Yeah, maybe on that family reunion weekend, but that's kind of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, but
show
that's,
me the latest dance.
I think that when you basically, in my opinion, they've been behind the eight ball in the digital space in mm-hmm. terms of what drives content. And what drives content are these blogs.
Yeah.
You know, the gossip shit, the shade rooms of the world.
Yeah. Baller alert.
That's where people go to get their content. That's
they rule.
They follow.
They rule.
They don't really do a great job on Twitter, which is right. a space for them
to. That's the wild thing about them. All of them, them TV One, you know, yeah. Vibe Magazine, kind of all those black
media entities. TV One was promoting Unsung this weekend, and I was like, nigga, we at Essence Fest.
Yeah.
Ain't
nobody watch Will Downing.
Your whole demo is at Essence Fest. How do you not know this?
Matter of fact, why are y'all not at Essence Fest?
Why are y'all not at Essence Fest?
Keep it
why
real.
Why do you have a new show up?
How is nobody, and maybe they have, maybe it's financial, I don't know, how is nobody from TV One said, at Essence Fest, let's do an Unsung stage.
Yeah.
And have all these niggas come out. Like,
a panel,
I mean, and maybe it's financial, I don't know, but it's like you said, your literal whole demo who watched them old gossip movies, like,
yeah.
Including me, you know what I'm saying? And Unsung and Fatal Attraction, all them shows on TV1, they. Warren and Erica show.
Yeah.
They all there. Like, nigga, like, all you got to do is set up a stage with the fucking logo
up
there. Yeah,
because BET manages to get their ass down there.
Let me say that one, I think TV One actually used to do the taping of Essence. They used to air that taping.
Okay.
They did.
And I think they might have just been priced out of that.
Jermaine
Rowland.
I was going to say Rowland get over that nigga.
Outfits this weekend, this nigga look like the Sultan of Brunei.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my. This nigga went to the fucking African Mart down on, or he went
on
to one of
the
Africans on 116th Street and bought himself some material. This nigga, I don't know. He thought
Miss
he was
Bernice
going to Wakanda.
He thought
he was going to Wakanda in real. One day, this nigga had on a caftan and some shit. Another day, he had on, like, I can't even. I wish I had pictures.
I mean, I agree with you. BT's looks like they're doing some good content, but they're not driving anybody
Nobody's
to see
watching
it. Nobody
it.
Knows it's there.
Yeah.
I want to mention this thing about these boys in this cave.
Oh,
in
yeah, the
Thailand.
Top boys.
So there was 12 boys and
their football coach
who walked in with cave seeing, I guess.
They went to explore the cave. Apparently they wanted to, like, their names on the walls or something,
but
they
but
got
then
caught
the coach,
with a flash flood. They got caught in a
oh,
flash
I thought the
flood.
Coach walked, kept walking. I thought there was, like, signs saying don't go past this point,
they
and
got,
the coach kept going.
No, they got
to
caught
more.
In a flash flood, and they had to keep moving in deeper
to get away from the water.
And they ended up getting
and
stranded.
What I read, the boys went in there. The coach went looking for the boys.
Okay.
Oh.
The coach didn't lead them in
so
there.
The coach wasn't a bad guy.
The coach wasn't a bad guy as it's reading now.
Right, right.
That
maybe
the boys, they were very young. They're young teenagers.
Yeah, like,
these are 12, 13 year old boys. It's a fucking cave.
Yeah.
You know, we're never going to see this shit again. Let's
but
go
there's, like,
here.
Really right. kind of certain parts that are very, very small
there's
and narrow.
There's a very narrow way. So if you ever look at, and they have all of the diagrams. So basically what happens is that there's an entrance to this cave.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, just thinking about the scale of the picture, so say a few hundred feet after that, there is, you know, maybe even a few thousand feet after that, there is a place where water can come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the flash flood comes, the water comes in. Now, in this cave, there's also a point where naturally the rock goes down and
mm-hmm.
there's a dip and you kind of have to go underneath that rock
mm-hmm.
to come out almost like on the other side. So when the flash flood comes in, it now levels
right.
with that dip.
Okay.
which makes it impossible
to get back out.
For you to get back out because you cannot hold your breath that long underneath.
So they
were trapped in there for days before people could even locate where they were in the cave.
Mm.
So the thought was that they were dead.
What was they eating?
Well, that nobody knows, but wherever they were, they had found a dry surface, and apparently the temperature wasn't too cold, wasn't too hot.
But it was pitch black, I think.
But it was pitch black. They'd been huddled up. They were probably definitely, weakened. They had been saying they were weakened. Some of their muscles were going through atrophy. Mm-hmm. But they were still alive.
There was water. There was a fresh water drip.
Yeah, so they had water, drink, they had, they but they hadn't been eating. Because I think they had been trapped for like almost a week already,
It was
right?
like, I think it was might have been 12 days
by the time they even knew where they were. Before they even knew where they were.
I don't know what the hell was really going on. But 12 days is a long motherfucking time.
Here you go.
Well, they also...
No, 12 days is a long ass time.
They also talk about this in another article that I read today, which is basically when you're in sort of that isolation and darkness, there is a complete warp of time for you.
Yeah, so
you don't realize it's 12 days.
Actually, they might think they were down there for a year. We don't have
no idea. They were saying that the first questions they asked were, how long have you been down here?
Right.
Because you can't
they
tell.
No
yeah, yeah.
There's
no night, day.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing that people need to understand about caves. We think about caves where you can, like in the movies, where it's big and cavernous and, you know, hello and all that shit.
Yeah.
But they were in like this little bitty spot, like Sean said, in the pitch dark. And they had to deploy like highly trained Navy SEALs. And this isn't like scuba diving, because you're diving in very narrow spaces in pitch, like with no visibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's murky, it's cloudy. None of these boys could dive or swim. That's the other problem. So at one point they were talking about how they were going to have to wait a couple of weeks to even get them out because they were trying to let the water recede.
Well, they had to bring them food. That was the first thing they had to bring them food because they were too... When they initially got
they were
too weak to do anything.
Right.
So they had to basically sort of nourish them up, get them the nutrients.
A medic stayed with them.
Yeah.
Like two people, I want to say, like just stayed with them. There is a diver, and I feel bad because I feel like he's getting
lost. He died, right?
There's a diver that died. Yeah. A SEAL diver. Like this man has more diving experience than like 99% of people in the world. But that's how high the stakes were, that he died in a pointless rescue. So, yeah. I mean, the fact that they got, because the other thing is like, this diving equipment alone is like 60 pounds.
Hell yeah.
So you're diving in this really narrow area.
And what they
and
did
it's really
was,
dark.
What they did was they put the boys on these stretchers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they, you know,
and navigate them out.
Yeah, one at a time. It's just.
It takes hours, painstaking.
So how long before the movie come out?
2 years.
Yeah, if.
2 years.
So if it's a TV movie, it'll be next
year.
Yeah. That shit was
incredible. Meanwhile, people are celebrating this shit. We got our own shit, whatever.
Yeah.
But I tweeted that.
Like, I'm happy the boys live.
I'm happy.
But it's like, man, we got boys getting, you know, cops calling for delivering newspaper or mowing grass. Yeah. And motherfuckers are cheering this shit. Again, I'm happy the boys made it out, but like, you know, come on, man. We got all, you know, shit. We got other shit to deal with here at the crib.
This is going to sound terrible. I'm going to say it anyway. You know, if this was some black kids, they got home to their parents, they would have been like, if you ever, you should have left your ass in that cage.
And they said, I know when the boys and when some of the all the divers came out, they have to wear sunglasses because they haven't seen light in so long. The eyes are like.
Oh, no, they said that there's probably permanent damage. To their bodies as well as like they're gonna have to go to therapy. Like you just cannot function coming back out into the world.
Yeah, after that shit.
Yeah.
And they basically have about a week before their parents can like touch them. Like
Because they're
basically like they don't know what they've been in contact with.
Yeah.
They kind of got a
feeling. Yeah, because they said there's some type of cave disease
that
gets into people's lungs. Yeah, what it's called.
There's all sorts of shit down there. They don't know what the fuck was... They don't know what was going on down there
in the cave. And who knows what was happening with, like, their excrement and
this
all
what I'm saying.
That.
I need to know what the hell going on, because somehow... Something right here.
this nigga would turn a cave trap into... Something fishy was happening.
Something fishy was going on down there. That's not
that coach. Let me see that old coach.
That don't sound right now. For that long time. I meant to mention this a couple weeks ago. This Jesse Williams thing.
Woo, listen.
So Jesse Williams, the actor, has divorced his wife. And is dating a baddie. He dating
who ain't black.
Is she black?
Taylor Rooks.
She's black.
She's
black.
First, it was Minka Kelly, but she wasn't black.
Yeah, no, no, not Minka Kelly. You know Taylor Rooks? No. She's a new sports newscaster.
I don't.
Here in New York.
Yeah. Okay.
She's a young... She's
fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
First of all, I still tripping. I didn't realize Jesse Williams was making that much money.
Sort of. Yes. He's on a TV show that's in his 13th season. He's been on there about, what, a smooth 8 of those now?
Nigga seven, making 521 grand a month?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm God bless him. I was like, I thought he'd make me make, you know, a couple hundred grand a month, which is still a lot of money. But
well, that's a couple hundred grand.
That's 500. He's making 500 grand a month.
Yeah, you know, 300.
No, he's making 521.
I'm just saying a couple. You said a couple hundred grand.
But he also has revenue streams aside from, like, I think he has
does
a
other things.
Company.
He's got a podcast. He
has
some other shit.
Company. He owns an app.
He's popping. I didn't realize he's popping at that much. But anyway, so he's paying his ex-wife now 50 grand a month in spousal support.
But they're in conflict over child support.
Yes.
Which is separate from child support.
Yes. He's claiming that his former spouse has inflated the children's financial demands, including her request for $25,000 a month for college. Which, you know, I kind of see. I mean, if they plan on sending these boys, and I think both of them went to, like, you know, PWIs.
Right.
Right, so, not that, shit, black colleges ain't cheap now either, right. Shit.
Brooklyn, no, nigga, that. They are not.
Yeah, but yeah, you ain't getting off easy going to a black school neither, but if whatever, like, by the time these boys who are, how old are they? They're 4 and 2, so they're very young. So by the time they get to college age...
It's going
to
be $200,000, easy.
Yeah. Or more.
Yeah.
Depending.
Conservative.
Exactly. They go up to Stanford or something like that, it could be 400 grand by the time they get there. So she's asking for that, and Jesse is fighting back. He wants to lower the payments. I actually been through this child support shit.
Yeah.
Obviously not to this level, but I've been through it. It's some fucking bullshit. There's no way the man can win. You can't. It's like, this is what you make. This is the percentage by law you have to pay. That's pretty much it. And unless it's like super extenuating circumstances. Mm-hmm. But pretty much it is what it is. I'm not trying to be in nobody's pockets, but I'm still like, my nigga, you're making $521 a month. You're paying her $50. That leaves you with four and change a month. I know it's taxes on that, but still, like, nigga, you ain't, like bro always says, you ain't missing no meals, my nigga. Like,
you are not getting the
meals. It's almost like,
crisis.
My nigga, give her the $50 and shut the fuck up.
Because
it's going to get worse.
She's still asking for less than what he's required to pay by law.
Absolutely.
Okay, again, child support is a game of percentages. And I understand that a lot of people get are upset with the spouse, and they're like, she out to get me, and she not using the money the right way. But the thing is...
It's the state.
The thing is also that child support is meant to keep the child in a standard of living that they would have if the parents were together.
Lifestyle.
If the parents were together. So, and it is hard to break down exactly how much it costs to raise a child, because basic household expenses are part of raising your child. Your car maintenance is part of raising your child. You know what I'm saying? All of that shit.
Insurance.
All of that shit. So you can't be like, well, I want this $300 to go specifically. Because that's the other thing. Most of these motherfuckers out here complaining about child support pay like $200 a month.
Yeah.
You can suck my dick.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
It pays
$183. Yeah.
And we're
like, you know, she used
that.
Right out of a check, too. She used that money to go out to eat. But okay, maybe your specific $183 went to get her nails done, but that means that her $183 already went to feed your child. You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
My thing is,
anyway,
Jesse's a smart guy, obviously. He's a very smart
but
guy.
But he's not, because there's no way he's following lawyer's advice on this.
I think,
he looks crazy.
I'm going to say, I think he is. And I'll
you
tell
think
you
so?
And I'll tell you why. This is, to me, what she's doing here is, look, he's making $500,000 a month.
A month.
Right now, right?
A month.
That is a very subjective number, because that can change.
True.
And the drasticness of that change is severe, right? So you have to go for, and her attorneys are probably advising her, you want to secure these things.
Your numbers.
At best, Because listen, if he's got to pay $25,000 into a college fund a month, okay, by the end of the year, he's at what, 275 or something like that?
Yeah,
he's at 275 per kid, right? So the goal is to kind of get those things in order, because guess what, dude? If he loses that gig tomorrow and they got to come in and lower them payments, like, that's the shit that happened with T.O. And that's why T.O. couldn't really wrap his head around why he was like, yo, when I had it,
I was doing
everybody
it.
Had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all but I ain't got it. It. When I ain't
and y'all
got
know
it,
I ain't
now,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and now y'all I ain't saying I ain't giving nothing. Yeah. I just can't pay $25,000 to you and $20,000 to you. Like, nigga, take me down to 7.
Yeah.
Take me down to 5. Yeah. You know, you can still live in the house or whatever the case may be. But like, I think
but
a lot
your income adjust, don't you go back to court to get them to adjust?
You can go back to get them to adjust.
Yeah. But a lot of times you'll go back, but the spouse or the ex-spouse will fight the adjustment. Like, look.
You're setting a standard. Yes. Here is the issue. The issue is that divorce is messy.
Yes.
Right?
True.
And Jesse, because we don't like...
Messy Jesse.
Because we don't like what is happening, doesn't mean that he has any less right to draw his line in the sand as well.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, those kids are not going to be on the street. This right. woman is not going to be fucked up. Okay, they ain't cutting the lights off.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, this is the line in the sand that I'd like to draw. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about $30,000 a month, $40,000
a month. That sounds like a lot.
That's a because we understand those numbers, right? We understand those numbers. And again, this is not a man. This is not a CEO of a company. He is not going to have, he might not have a 25-year run of
that level.
Of this level of income and it increasing.
Yeah.
Right.
He may have peaked.
But
also, one more thing. I'm just going to say this because, again, I've been doing it now. If I can get my little shabby, give me a drink. Now, remember, these numbers that she's getting, that's tax-free. They don't tax child support or any of that shit. So if that $50,000 is really 110,
okay.
if it was taxed money, like she's getting $50,000 a month.
This is also
tax-free cash.
Here's part of the problem with Jesse is optics.
Messy yes. Jesse?
Because Jesse Williams has earned a lot of goodwill of late, not just being a champion of black people, but being a champion of black women.
Absolutely.
And made a whole speech at the BET Awards about here's for the black women who took care of yourselves last and whatever, whatever. He has been publicly talking shit about his ex-wife. It's not just that it's the fight. It's that he's addressing it in public and he's disparaging her in the process. And my thing
and
is...
And he bagging out you bad young joints.
Right. And the thing... So,
publicly.
And sympathy is going to be on her side because she's a well-educated, well-degreed woman who was... previously an executive in her own
and held him down when he was
held,
struggling
exactly,
actor.
Held him down, gave up her job to move to LA for him to chase his dream, whatever. And I mean, that doesn't matter in the child support. That matters in the spousal support, and that part is done and whatever. But the optics are bad for Jesse. Yeah, and black women are an active and engaged fan base, and they will turn on you in 2 seconds.
Well, also, too, this to me is his this whole thing is why I'm saying I think he's listening to attorneys. Mm-hmm. Because this is the behavior of attorneys.
Got you. Okay.
This is leading your client because an attorney is looking at this from a very black and white space.
Right.
They are not looking at the nuances of what this can cost you. They're not looking at this in the nuances of the human capital and goodwill that you're giving up. Right? And what I think needs to happen is somebody needs to come and say, listen, go talk to Jordan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause guess what? When Juanita said, I'm out, nigga, guess what Mike did? Mike cut that check.
Right.
And said she earned that shit. She deserved it.
Yeah.
She raised those kids.
Yeah.
She took care of this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, she earned that shit.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
Again, this is the time when you have to have level-headed common sense. And also, too, there has to be, in my opinion, he's also in a bitter and angry place, right?
Clearly.
Because this is not a woman who you thought you would spend the rest of your life with, and now she's just out here, your kids is fucking running around in the street, dirty diapers and shit.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm pretty sure that their level of care and their level of life is still consistent.
Yeah.
Right? So what are we talking about? Like, what is the real argument?
What's the real beef?
Like what is your real beef here, right? Like, this could have been done in a very quiet and acrimonious way, right? Like, yo, man, like, honestly, this is why you fucking put gag orders on.
Exactly.
Like, just fucking gag everybody.
Yeah,
okay? Don't nobody say nothing until we get this shit figured out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the complete ins and outs of what the expenses are, but yeah, my nigga, you know, your kids are not going to live if you make $500,000
a month. In a two bedroom.
They're not going to live in an 1800 square foot ranch, my nigga, and do only karate.
Yeah.
For $35. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Leroy.
Going to daycare.
Yeah, go to one daycare in summer. We got to bring the lunch. No, nigga.
Bring a tuna sandwich.
Yeah, like that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, I also think that there is a level of where there is a bit of cut off, and I think courts.
Karate with Mr. Leroy.
You know what I'm saying? The old black nigga with, used to work out with Jim Kelly.
Gut hanging over his belt and shit.
But, I mean, listen, I don't understand. I understand why, because again, you listen to your attorneys, and of course, you're in that room.
But you should have settled this shit outside the court.
To me, man, this is the time. If there was no other time, this is the time that you fucking really man up, and you know what? You get you and your ex, your wife in a room. Y'all sit down and y'all iron this shit out, man.
And keeping it trill on some nigga shit, he should have definitely ironed this out before he started banging joints publicly.
Like,
he's bam. Now, I'm not saying don't bang no joints because y'all not together, but you sported Mika
like
Kelly, and now you sported Tim.
But also, man, It's gonna
make the wife more angry. She's more angry now.
It's not even
you are here with the bad 26-year-old.
I don't even know that she's angry as much as there is a level of shame and embarrassment that you're putting on her, right? Like she might
you traded her in.
She might not have given
model.
A fuck, right? She might not have given a fuck.
Yeah.
But every time she's confronted with that shit, she got to eat that crow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you left me for her.
And
I guess you wanted
that. And people whispering. You don't think she hear that? You don't think she ever been in the dressing room and a motherfucker talking slick about her in the dressing room next to her saying something under their breath? Like, yo, people are fucking cruel, dude.
They
I see that shit all the time.
Yeah, they are.
People are cruel. They talk crazy about her online.
Yeah, they do.
She's an attractive woman. I don't understand what the fuck people are talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because she had a little bit of weight and she didn't wear a whole lot of makeup.
Move that stuff over, nigga.
Get two kids. The fuck? So good luck to you, Jesse. I want to mention this.
Even if she didn't have two kids,
she's a cute girl.
Put some extra gravy on the
wake
side.
Wake up in the morning, smells bacon cooking. Shit. You woke me up to some sausage. I wanted to just mention real quick this. I don't mean I get into it, but this is a crazy ass story. You follow the story about the people that the Russians poisoned over the UK?
No, I mean I've seen some mentions of it, but I can't say I've really been following.
Yeah, they poisoned this woman because she was, you know, kind of anti-Russia. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, nobody over here is, you know, really kind of condemning it, because of your man. But you know, Russians is playing hardball, man. Like, you know, as they always do.
As they always do. Except now, all of a sudden, we friendly.
Yeah, now all of a sudden, it's like, you know, they're the best motherfuckers in the world. Yeah. Did y'all keep up with this LaShawn? Have you been keeping up with this LaShawn McCoy story?
Yeah, I have.
It was a terrible story.
Is that the one who committed suicide?
No,
football player who allegedly got his wife beat up. Yeah, got his wife. Were they married? Were they married? They weren't married.
No, that was his girl.
But he had. She had two kids.
Previous. Basically, had her jumped.
Yeah, he had two kids previous with Marcus Vick, Michael Vick's son, brother, who apparently allegedly was a better athlete than Michael, but is a fucking maniac and undisciplined.
He's definitely a maniac. I definitely don't think he was a better athlete than Michael.
Okay, but
I seen the clips.
Okay, so she had two kids with him. She was in Floyd's orbit for a while.
Part of his harem.
You know, she's moved in those circles. And I'm not saying this to judge. It's just who she is. It's fine. She's a really pretty girl. She links up with LaShawn McCoy. They date. She has a son by him, who's still pretty young. Like two or one, something like that, three. And they have some type of falling out. LaShawn's been trying to get her to move out of his house, and she won't leave. So he's called the cops and da 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 da. So fairly recently, she went on a trip somewhere, and she had that, you know, security sheet. You could look on your phone and see your cameras. And she's looking on the phone, and she sees people moving her shit out of the house. So she calls the cops. The cops come over and make them move the shit back in the house. Because by law, he couldn't kick her out yet. So he's super frustrated. He moves somewhere else because he don't want to be with them all for a reason. And then allegedly, he sends some goons to beat the shit out of her. They pistol whipped this girl. Beat the shit out of her. Apparently, he also is alleged to have been beating on a little boy badly. And apparently, like, abusing, they had a dog. Beat the dog so bad, the dog has kidney failure now. So, but he, and so his statements have been slick because he's like, I haven't seen her in months.
Right.
And it's like, I haven't had direct
contact. Exactly. It's like, okay, yeah, but that don't mean you ain't hiding. And so her, one of her friends put a picture up on Instagram of her face all bloody and beaten and swollen and wrote a whole post about how accusing him of hiring people to beat the shit out of this girl after,
which is crazy.
After, you know, a long, you know, sets of abuse that weren't reported,
right,
with the kid, the dog, and her, and this was like the culmination. So, I think this nigga's fucked up because first of all, it's just some heinous shit to do. He's a good running back. He ain't a great running back. They suspended fucking Adrian Peterson for beating on his son.
You're right.
This, like, I think this nigga's finished. I think this nigga's finished.
Let me add something else too. He also changed the security system and put in a new security system in which she didn't have any contact over. So apparently, in reading all of this,
so he could let people in.
Well, it depends. What you could no longer do is she couldn't log in.
Control it from the phone.
Right. So she couldn't see what was going on in the house when she wasn't there.
Crazy.
So basically, I mean, look, that you can open the doors and any of that shit. You know, with your phone. There are no signs of forced entry.
So somebody let somebody in.
There's no signs of forced entry. This is way out. Now, you know, this is a high-profile case. I'm sure they're going to have the most hardened detectives on it.
Yeah, it's up in Alpharetta, Georgia.
So there are two things. One of these things is that with these security systems, even when your alarm is not armed, there is still a tracking of the movements in the house. So you can tell what doors breached. You can tell what motions have gone off. You can pretty much use, like, I can use, because I have this. I can pretty much use my security system and track wherever you are in my house.
Okay.
At any point. So I don't think the cops are going to have a very difficult time. It's going to be very interesting to see if the security system was magically disconnected.
Yeah, or some shit erased
now,
or whatever.
Even if you took the footage, there should be a login. It should say, you know, door entry at 1:48 a.m. You know, even if you don't have the footage,
yeah,
it still tells you what was going on and where things were moved. So. Also, too, in a lot of those neighborhoods, the other homes have systems.
True. I'm sure all the homes there have systems.
Yeah.
Mostly, so basically, if you come on my street, you're going to get picked up
by
somebody's house.
Yeah.
There's just no physical way possible for you to bypass all. Now, you may not get everything or every angle, they can absolutely zoom in on what kind of car came through, what time, what took place. All of that shit. They'll go backwards to the nearest traffic light cam and find that shit. So it doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good. You know, people defending him. I mean, look.
I don't know how you defend him.
I don't know. I don't know. This is just crazy. Like, it's so crazy. But then again,
what are you doing?
Then again, we thought Ray Caruth was crazy.
Right.
Well, it was.
But my point was,
yeah,
it's happened.
And he hired the same lawyer that defended Ray Lewis.
Oh, Lord.
And another one of these niggas ended up.
That didn't.
Didn't end up so well. Ray Lewis and another one of these. Oh, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out because, the stakes are a little higher now in terms of public perception.
And the Me Too campaign
in terms of public perception, the stakes are a little higher now. This is brutal. And, I mean, if he has any, if, here's the thing. When you're the athlete, just like with Ray Carruth, them niggas ain't have no problem with turning on Ray Carruth.
Yeah.
At all.
Niggas not doing no time. Cause you ain't no killer. You ain't built like that. Yeah. You ain't that kind of dude.
Yeah.
And they don't see you like that.
Yeah. You think you are until shit get real.
Yeah. Right. And then you might see this turn in the first 48 quick.
No, real. Oh, niggas.
Give me a grape soda. Ain't nobody doing barbecue chips, nigga. I'm gonna tell you everything.
Bring me some Kennedy fried chicken.
Bring me a pack of Paul Marles.
Give me one more sweet potato pies too. I like those. And let's sit and talk.
Before we go, so who is the former? Is he a former college player or a former NFL player who committed suicide?
Former college player, I can't remember.
Yeah, former UCLA player,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't keep up with that story.
I could only watch part of the video, but he left like this really long suicide video.
Really?
Before he killed himself, so I'm following that a little bit. But then I want to give whatever the opposite of a shout out is to Forbes and
Kylie Jenner.
For saying that she's about to be one of the youngest, quote-unquote, self-made billionaires. First of all, that in the entire Forbes list, you feel like Kylie Jenner is a bitch to put on the cover. I shouldn't call that girl a bitch. But you feel like Kylie Jenner is a bitch to put on the cover.
you call her a bitch twice. Okay.
But, first of all, because her money is being made from a cosmetics line.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily a lip line.
Mm-hmm.
She just got her lip injections taken out.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, it's all based on...
being black.
That shit, I'm being fake black.
Yeah, it's you all being, I mean? Like, yeah, all of it.
Like, all of it is so problematic, and also the fact that, we're almost done, and also the fact that, like, so, like, everything about her look for the past however many years has been manufactured.
None of it
is natural. Obviously, she comes from an extremely wealthy family. Self-made is a misnomer.
I will say, and I know we got to wrap up.
Yeah.
I understand the sentiment of that because she does come from money, so there is a level of she had the cheat code.
Right.
What they're meaning, the meaning of self-made is very loose here, and I think that because we know that she comes from money, and we really don't like them, right?
Yeah, right.
We don't, that you know, we're a little harsher, but this is not a business that she inherited.
Yeah.
This was not a business, what I'm saying is, this wasn't a business that was already established that she took the helm of. Right.
But it's still based on attributes of hers that aren't hers.
That's fair. There are a number of people that we can point to that have gained success based on things that weren't necessarily a part of them.
True.
So what I mean by that is when you look at her and you look at what she's done here, like Rob has had that same access. Courtney has had that same access. Neither of them have taken the bull by the horns and used those resources to and Rob tried to do a couple
Rob's
different businesses.
Rob's still doing them socks.
He did socks and bow ties and some other stupid shit like that. But my point is, there is a technicality to the language being used, and it is being made, you know, sort of loosely, but I understand what they're saying.
Okay, so that's fair. Does she deserve to be on
the cover? No, I'm not saying she. I'm not saying that. No,
okay. That's just purely, that's purely like.
That's my thing is that
that's
they
for
actually,
clicks and likes.
You want to put her in the list? Cool. Putting her on cover.
Because you know why?
Is like.
Because that's going to make the magazine sell.
That's what's going to be
saying. But you're Forbes.
No,
like,
Forbes still needs to. You know, shit. Forbes got to pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? They need coffee in the break room. You know what I'm saying? Goddamn interns.
All that shit. Yeah. Last thing. I just want to mention. I don't really have time for them. I just wanted to mention, well, two things real quick. Power premiered while we were away. I watched the first two episodes. I'm struggling with it a little bit this season. It's just a lot. It's too much going on for me per episode. It's a lot happening. But I'm a ride out. We'll see.
Right.
We ain't gonna get deep with it. Another thing I wanted to kind of get into, we don't have a lot of time, is talk about is this whole internship conversation that's been flying around on.
Yeah, let's talk about that next show. I think that'll be a long one, especially based on all of our experiences.
Okay, cool. All right, so next week.
Full disclosure, I started as an unpaid intern.
I didn't intern, and I don't say that to be, you know, braggadocious. Right. That was my path. But yeah, we'll talk. So we're gonna hold on. We'll discuss the intern thing next week, and you know we'll do the catch up on all the other shows next week too. I'm about to go home and watch the Queen Sugar.
Oh, we're putting the dough in it. Go down to the Walmart.
The Queen Sugars.
The Queen
Sugars. And we'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.